Good evening. This is William F. DeVault, sometimes referred to as the romantic poet of the internet, and it is once again time for From Out of the City, my podcast on the topic of poetry. Yes, I know a lot of people find poetry incredibly boring and irrelevant. Trust me, I've known about this all my life. Lost a fiancé over it once. But that's not the point. There are people who find it interesting. There are people who recognize its vitality within culture and its essentiality in human literature and history. So, for those who don't find it relevant, that's fine. Go your own way. For those who do, stick around. Give me a few minutes. And we'll talk a bit about poetry, at least from my perspective. This week, the week of May 6th, 2007, we're talking about the topic of inspirations. Why inspirations this week? Well, it's a topic I've addressed before, but just 3 days ago was my mother's birthday. My mother was not always, or is not always, has not always been, my most ardent supporter. She was the one who had the talk with my former fiancé about maybe you should get him to give up this poetry stuff. And I understand that. As a parent, she wants what's best for her children, and she felt that poetry was a distraction from my real calling. Unfortunately, poetry is my real calling, and as such, it has sometimes created a bit of a rift. But I still love my mother, and I know she still loves me. She wants what's best for me, and she's a good person. Politically, we differ. Obviously, on my career choices, we differ, but that doesn't mean we still can't love and respect each other. So it is in all relationships, and we encounter that to a great extent. I have loved people who did not understand me. People have loved me who I did not understand. I have written volumes on individuals and inspirations that would never be anything more than a warm memory of something that never was. My entire series of poems, The Faceted Sphere, used to be reflections upon individuals that I would never be involved with from the aspect of what if in another world, in another sphere, we were. And it was an interesting experiment. Some of the poems are actually quite good. But just this past week, I was writing, and I came up with a new piece that I posted off to Authors Den and on my main blog, and it got very, very strong response, including from some peers who I really respect the opinion of, people like Candy Tothill. And it made me think about inspiration, because inspiration takes many forms. Sometimes it's things you experience, and sometimes it's things that you imagine, and sometimes it's things that somehow straddle the fence between the two. Without true empirical evidence of the reality, but certainly with circumstantial evidence as to a resonance between individuals. Being the, quote, romantic poet of the internet, a sobriquet I've labored under and embraced over the last more than a decade, I recognize the fact that inspiration is key to my work. I have described my role in all of this as being a highly polished mirror, and it is my job to reflect the light of other individuals onto the page. Without the inspiration, without the muses, I would be nothing. That's my position. Some people have argued that. I don't know. This is my life I'm living. It's hard for me sometimes to step outside of it and develop a totally neutral view of it. But the poem I am going to read for you first today is called In the Strangest Corners of Memory. And it was funny when this came to me. I actually wrote it live in the podcast window. A song came to mind. And it was the song, They Can't Take That Away From Me, which talks about all the little things that you remember about a lover. And It's a wonderful thing because I will see things or experience, smell, hear, taste things in real life that resonate with a memory of someone I have loved. And it will come flooding back into me, the emotion, the good and the bad. But for the most part, emotion, unless it's violent emotion that you act upon, is good. Because it's proof of life. It's essential to life. It's something that separates us from soulless creations, in that we are aware of our emotions. And we acknowledge the feeling of them. We don't just react to them. We are not just biochemical machines that twitch when the current flows through the neuron. We have conscious thought. We have sentience. And emotions are a part of that. And that's important. So, without any more delay, here is my new work, In the Strangest Corners of Memory. I will find you in the strangest corners of memory. The way you took your drink and the pattern of cool drops of sweat that formed on the glass as we spoke of nothing as foreplay to an inevitable union moments in the future. The texture of the skin on your back when you were warm and full of life and me. The way your hair fell on my face when I was too busy with other things to notice, but remembered later and smiled a slow and gentle memory. The scent of jasmine filtered through the oils of your skin as you lay beside and beneath me, asking for nothing more than everything I had and was and would ever be, and I gave it all in joy and hope and dreams and passion undismayed. The texture of your kisses and the questions you asked with hands and arms and lips and legs and sounds that were not words but spoke infinite eloquences that stole my heart and soul and memory of promises I had made before I saw your eyes and lost the pain of life. Or how about this piece? Every bit as earnest, but certainly coming from a different aspect. The name of it is Avatars in the Night. I have a friend who we banter, we flirt, and there is a question as to whether or not there is some sort of attraction between us. And one night she called me up to let me know she was sitting in a hot tub naked, which was... Well, knowing my imagination, of course I had to imagine it. And having imagined it, it became part of my memory pattern. And having become part of my memory pattern, it became fodder for a poem. But before that happened, I responded to her, "Don't put anything in my head you wouldn't put in my bed." Now, it's taunting to say things to people that, you know, talk about your own sexuality, to talk about your own nakedness, unless you want that person to be thinking about it. And usually when you do, whether you consciously mean to or not, that is your agenda. You want that person to be imagining you in that situation. And I did. So in the aftermath of that quote, just a few minutes after I wrote that quote, this poem came to me, Avatars in the Night. And it's sort of in the spirit of the faceted sphere poems I spoke about earlier. You're in my head, stretched and tempting, half mad to be bad. To be in my bed, giving me a single night to prove my passion in ways you can barely imagine. Until this spirit is upon you and within you. 5 senses. 7 powers, and I dreamt of you last night, feral and beautiful, and on sheets heated to lambents by what was passing between avatars in the heat. Perhaps a little more to the erotic there, don't you think? I would say so. That's just my opinion. Well, finally, I have a short poem or eloquence. Sometimes those pieces that are not as structured as poetry, in my opinion, should be, I refer to as eloquences. And this is a piece I wrote just this past February. An acquaintance of mine named Shai, who is a model, who works a lot of, shall we say, alternative modeling opportunities, was asking me about the disposition of my heart, whether I was currently involved or what have you. And those of you who follow my sad and pathetic tale know that I have pretty much stood apart from romantic entanglements for a while. Not because I don't want it, not because I don't think I'm up to it, but just out of caution. One doesn't go through the kind of crap storm that I've been through over the last few years without getting a little tender in a few spots, shall we say. And this is no put down to the human race or to the female gender. I still have infinite respect for the female gender and great fascination for them. But I just find myself sometimes twitching away when I find someone attractive. But anyway, I wrote this poem called In Love, and thought I would close out tonight's show with this. No charity, no parity in love. The flowers use their powers of their fragrant nectars to draw you in for their purposes. And yet petals smell beautiful in love. There you have it. There it is. That poem, there's a slight cynicism to it. Obviously the flowers I speak of are women. They use their powers of their fragrant nectars to draw you in for their purposes. That does not mean their purposes are dangerous or malign. It just means that everybody loves, everybody likes, everybody wants, to their own agenda to some degree. Even the most charitable of people, even the most self-sacrificing of people, are doing it to an end that they want. They're either trying to do penance for past sins, or they feel good when they do good. So in a way, all relationships, friendships and loving, are selfish. I don't discourage that. Indeed, we tend to work harder when we're getting something out of it than when we're not getting anything out of it. And that's an important distinction to understand. Being, as Marie Laureano described me, the Einstein of the human heart, there are some unromantic truths I have to embrace and integrate into my worldview. And that is one of them. So anyway, I wish you a great week. I hope to be back next week with another show. Take care. God bless. Drop by the City of Legends sometime. That's www.cityoflegends.com to check out my videos and my other podcasts and hundreds of my poems written out there for you. And just be very good to yourselves. And remember, inspiration is all around you. And love and friendship and passion are all parts of a healthy life. So this is William F. DeVault, the romantic poet of the internet, saying good evening from out of the city.
Okay, boys, let's give them what we've got. dance is rare.